Kwaba Ekabo Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa.
We're back again with another weekly Sats and Gwe, bringing you reports, updates, and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. I am Miss Purple.
And I remain Nike.
Your highly esteemed decentralized reporters from Africa.
Again, we'll be taking a quick look at how the cryptocurrencies have performed in the past week across board, at least for the ones we'll be considering. There hasn't been much of a change in their values. Bitcoin currently sits at $22,361.53, slightly down from what it was last week at the $23,000 mark. Ethereum currently sits at $1,599.78, compared to what it was last week at $1,538.81. The Optimism token currently sits at $2.45, slightly down from what was last week at $2.89. The Matic token currently sits at $1.15, slightly down from what it was last week at $1.28. And last but not the least is the Bank token, which still hovers around the $0.007 mark, compared to what it was last week at $0.0082.
Now, before I move into our national currencies, I just want to say one thing, and that is, do not underestimate what is happening right now in this current bear. I know it's a bear, but it doesn't feel like a bear, but it's a bear nonetheless. But there is a lot of building that continues to happen, so don't fully dismiss it just yet. But moving straight into our national currencies, we're going to start off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is currently at 1283 cedi to the dollar, up by a 0.31% change from last week's 12.87 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian Naira is at 460.46 Naira to the dollar, down by 0.02 from last week's 460.44 Naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African Rand are currently at 18.14 Rand and Luti to the dollar, respectively, up by a value of 1.52% from last week's 18.42 Rand and Luti to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is at 128 shillings to the dollar, down by 1.16% from last week's 126.53 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 618.15 franc to the dollar, up by 0.25% from last week's 619.68 franc to the dollar. It's quite crazy. These numbers are insane. I am not quite certain what exactly is happening such that all of us are seeming to move in tandem in the same way, which is unfortunately negative for us, but positive for those who are using foreign currencies. But it's not great. It's not phenomenal. The hope is that we can at least find ways to survive and get through it anyway. But we'll see. We'll see. But before we get straight into our news for this week, we're going to give you some quick highlights from last week that we found to be particularly interesting. And the first one is that Ethereum's Vitalik Buterin made his second trip to Zambia and Ghana while the Zambian nation was looking to experiment with crypto regulation. I have to say that it was a very, very interesting time, and I'm very excited to perhaps find out more about his experience and what exactly it entailed. And, you know, maybe what the plans were, you know, maybe some behind the scenes secrets. You never know.
And the second headline we had from last week, which is still making headlines across the internet, on Twitter, and everywhere else that matters to Nigerians and Africans, was the elections that happened, the presidential elections that happened in Nigeria this past week, in which Nigerians headed to the polls adamant for a positive shift in the change of power. But so far, it would seem that that election has been characterized by too many controversies. There are debates everywhere. And, you know, everybody's going to court and it might want to look like they want to have a rerun. Nobody knows what the outcomes will be. But what we know is that according to the Nigerian government, those elections were free and fair. But according to the people who live here and the rest of the world who saw what happened, we know that that wasn't free and fair. And that brings us to a wrap up of our headlines from last week. We're moving on to headlines for this week and kicking off with Zimbabwe, where two blockchain startups have launched a service to help migrants efficiently move funds across borders.
Every day, innovators across Africa continue to break new frontiers on the path to tapping into the full potential of blockchain technology. FlexID and Uhuru Wallet, two startups, have launched a platform that provides digital identity and remittance services to immigrants residing in and working in South Africa. The aim is that this collaboration will offer a quick and safe remittance process for Zimbabwean immigrants. The South African-based WhatsApp remittance platform Uhuru Wallet and the Zimbabwean blockchain startup FlexID announced the launch of a platform that will serve as a front for a combined digital identity and remittance services to millions of Zimbabwean immigrants in South Africa. Now, according to their statement, this is perhaps the biggest cross-collaboration of startups built on different blockchains across Africa. While the Uhuru Wallet is based on the Stellar blockchain, FlexID, which was co-founded by Victor Mapunga, uses the Algorand blockchain, both of which are not blockchains that a lot of people tend to talk about, especially when you're innovating. But according to a statement by the FlexID CEO Victor Mapunga, and I quote, "By leveraging blockchain technology, we can provide a secure and efficient way for users to verify their identity and access financial services, no matter where they are," end quote. Along the same lines, Trust Jakarasi, who is the CEO and founder of the Uhuru Wallet, said, and I quote, "We are excited to partner with FlexID to offer our customers a more streamlined and secure remittance experience. By combining our strengths in digital identity and remittance services, we can better serve the needs of Zimbabwean immigrants in South Africa," end quote. I think this is phenomenal. I think this is great and ingenious because whatever country you may live in, everybody knows that, you know, being able to send money back home is a big, big deal, especially if you're, you know, one of the first few to perhaps maybe find a better job or a better life for yourself outside of your country. So I am very interested to see what this collaboration will do and how people will, of course, respond to it. I am not Zimbabwean, but I do know quite a few Zimbabweans who reside in South Africa. But outside of just them, you know, I think in general, it is quite exciting to be able to see something like this firsthand. On to our next headline for the week. South African startup Momint seeks to boost electricity generation using blockchain-based solutions.
I mean, first of all, I just want to say that it looks like the possibilities with blockchain technology just keep expanding. Like, we're not even sure how far it goes or how far it can stretch, but we just know that for right now, so far, it seems limitless. Now, the SunCash initiative launched by the South African startup Momint aims to prefer a solution to the country's electricity generation challenges. Now, the startup solution has reportedly already been tested at Delmas High School in the South African province of Mpumalanga, according to the media house News 24. Investors with a desire to partake in the project can purchase non-fungible tokens for as little as $9. Now, these NFTs are tied to solar cells in the real world. And these solar cells can then be leased to persons and organizations that are willing to purchase the electricity based on a standard rate. Aaron Posthumus, the CEO of Momint, said in a statement, and I quote, "We are a technology company that's trying to build for the next 15 years. But what we realized is that we can't build a technology company in a country that doesn't have electricity," end quote. He subsequently went on to reiterate that the project is to be non-profit, citing that the project is, in quote, non-financially sustainable, end quote. And he considers this a good social initiative for the greater good of the country. I mean, I'm not sure how long it would take for Africa to finally be out of this electricity mess. I mean, they'll teach you this in schools, you know, basic amenities, electricity is one of them. But as basic as it should be, it's not so basic for us around here. And I feel like that is still a milestone. That is still a barrier that we have to break. That's a milestone we haven't crossed yet. I'm not sure if there is any African country that has 24/7 electricity. I think one time I heard that Zambia did it, but I'm not so sure if I'm not so sure if that was true or not. But what I'm trying to say is, we live in a world where, or an age where, electricity is very necessary for a lot of things we do. In fact, almost everything. And the fact that we can still struggle with such a basic element that is needed for us to do basic things, to innovate and all that, it just sets us back in so many ways. And it would be really good if some way, somehow, this project can solve a part of that problem for the people of South Africa. Now, moving on to the next bit of news. South Africa has been added to the FATF grey list, despite designation of crypto as a financial product.
Recent economic and potentially financial setback that has hit the country of South Africa is its recent addition to the grey list by the Financial Action Task Force, that is the FATF. The FATF acts as an international financial watchdog. The cause of the grey listing was that a cryptocurrency was classified as a financial product by the South African Financial Industry Regulator after the FATF allegedly expressed concerns about the lack of regulation of such assets. The implication of this announcement made on the 24th of February is that being placed on the grey list of the Financial Action Task Force could make it more strenuous for South Africans, or South Africa as a whole, to get foreign loans from international banks. The addition of the country to the grey list further implies a reputational setback for the country from a financial viewpoint. Commenting on the situation, the South African Reserve Bank, SARB, said through a spokesperson, and I quote, "The SARB expects banks and other financial institutions within its purview to fully comply with all their obligations and applies to a high standard of supervision that is necessary to safeguard and protect the integrity of the financial system," end quote. Now, the central bank has further reiterated its commitment to identifying the deficiencies identified by the FATF in its financial framework in order to remedy it and eventually, hopefully, reverse its unfavorable outcome. I honestly did not see that one coming. I'm not sure what we expected, to be fair, but I did not see that one specifically coming. I thought more than anything, you know, as a country, making such a thing an actual financial asset, taking this move, to me, it kind of says we're taking this seriously. But I guess, you know, the FATF saw it in a very, very different manner, which I guess, you know, if one is interested to find out more about it, you can always go and do your own research and find out more information on that. But just on the surface, it is generally not what I expected. I do hope that South Africa is able to fix that, because I think this, because everything is still so new, every single move and every outcome, every call essentially sets a precedent for what could happen in the future. So I do hope that they're able to find a way to work around that. On to our next headline. New fund mints an NFT collection to accelerate Africa's women-led startups tackling health challenges.
The NFT Africa collection, which includes distinctive digital artworks, will help WinFund in part by fostering a community of innovators, investors, and supporters to support the next generation of African women confronting some of the greatest health challenges on the continent. The Health Innovation and Investment Exchange, HIEX, in collaboration with the Kofi Annan Foundation and the Ecobank Foundation and the consumer goods firm Reckitt, co-founded the new Women in Innovation Fund, WinFund, which is behind the mint. Now, the selling of WinFund NFTs, which is a one-of-a-kind digital artwork created by Rwandan artist Christella Bijou, will contribute to the funding of WinFund. Close cooperation with technology collaborator Tokenproof has enabled the collection's support and availability. I mean, this has become like a really premium use case of NFTs, you know, fundraising. I mean, we've seen it with Moment not too long ago, you know, the part where they're trying to raise money to launch the solar cells project for as little as $9 per person who wants to invest. And now we're seeing this also where WinFund is trying to, you know, is selling NFTs as a means of raising money to help women around the continent tackle some of, you know, the health challenges that are prevalent here. And I mean, at some point, you know, at the start of all this, NFT to some people was just about art. You know, it had no greater value than that, you know, just buy and wait for it to pump and then sell. But now it just feels like it has so much more. NFTs actually mean so much more to a lot of people now in the crypto space, especially the part where it can be used for good, you know, for fundraising, for good causes, to support, you know, people in need, to fund projects that actually fight for the greater good, or support, you know, people in underserved communities. I mean, NFTs are doing so much good right now. And I feel like WinFund taking this path to, you know, trying to raise money, and then all the people they are collaborating with, including the Echo Bank Foundation, which I believe is tied to Echo Bank and Reckitt Benckiser. It's just, it seems like a huge win. WinFund, a huge win. But again, I know that this is the right way to go for them. I think they are doing fantastic. And again, I'm sure that over time, they might be inclined to maybe want to sell the NFTs of other artists. You know, I mean, it's a good idea if they do that. It would give other people exposure while also still giving them the chance to raise more money to fund the projects, you know, to fund the WinFund project. So I think it's a really great idea, and I'm really rooting for the success of all of it. And I'm really hoping that it kicks off and stays up. I'm moving on to the next headline. Binance announces support for new African currencies without third parties.
Binance remains on its mission to give voice to the local currencies of many countries across Africa. The global cryptocurrency exchange giant has announced through a recent announcement that more African currencies, such as the Liberian dollar, LRD, the Sierra Leonean Leone, SLL, the Gambian Dalasi, GMD, the Mauritanian Uguia, GMRO, the Cape Verdean Escudo, will now be supported on its peer-to-peer marketplace, CVE. This enables the possibility of users living in these locations to trade, deposit, and use peer-to-peer services directly in their own currency without needing intermediaries. Binance aims to make cryptocurrencies available to everyone in Africa and beyond by offering access to a variety of financial tools while keeping one of the lowest fees in the industry. In a statement by the Director of Binance in West and East Africa, Nadim Anjarwala, and I quote, "Binance has continued to remain dedicated to increasing the adoption and general accessibility of cryptocurrency, and we're thrilled to be taking this step in making access to digital assets effortless for more Africans." End quote. That is phenomenal. However, I'm very curious to know the exact nitty-gritty of how it's being done. I will, of course, read more into it, as should you, you know. It's in as much as they are a centralized platform, one cannot deny the strides they continue to make for African countries. And I say African countries mostly because that's who I interact with more than anywhere else. But I am very, very curious to know how exactly this works. So we will see. More research shall inform us as to how exactly this works. Moving on to our next headline for the week, Human Rights Foundation grants Africa's Gala Fellowship with $100,000 to support its Bitcoin developer program.
I think so far we've come to see over the past couple months that there are like more and more programs supporting, you know, Bitcoin developers, people building on the Lightning Network. And this seems to be yet another one of them, which is great, actually. Now, a $100,000 grant has been given to Kala, a fellowship program that is educating the next generation of African Bitcoin and Lightning developers. Now, this money will be used to continue the 13-week fellowship and to pay for 6 Kala fellows to join the Oslo Freedom Forum. The Human Rights Fund also provided a $75,000 grant to the Africa Bitcoin Conference, which is the premier Bitcoin-focused conference in Africa. For students, activists, and developers attending the Africa Bitcoin Conference in December 2022, HRF disclosed in January 2023 that it had given $15,000 in travel funds to support them. And that is a lot of support. $15,000 is definitely a lot of support. And, you know, I feel like in a lot of cases, we have people who are interested in, you know, learning new technology. They want to build stuff. In a lot of the cases, I would say, they know what they're doing. But then, you know, they have constraints also. There's financial constraints. There's spatial constraints, people not being in the same geographical locations where there's opportunities available. But then what we have all these funds doing now, you know, like the Binance Charity Fund and all these various Bitcoin funds that have been set up and the likes of them, they are making it easier for people to be able to access these opportunities that are available in the blockchain space, whether or not they are physically available, whether or not they are in countries where they are exposed to such opportunities, whether or not they have money, whether or not they have equipment. We've seen scholarships. And this $100,000 for, you know, these six people is definitely a lot of support. You know, I feel like it's definitely going to go a long way in equipping them, in training them. And I, you know, sometimes a constraint people have, probably one of the biggest constraints, is the financial aspect, where people want to do this stuff, but they can't afford it. And then, you know, sometimes what somebody needs to change their life, or what they need to access the technology that can change their lives and the lives of the people where they're coming from, is that little sponsorship that enables them to be there, to get that knowledge. And I think we need more of this. You know, we need more people putting forward funds, you know, donations and all that, to sponsor these kinds of initiatives. Now, moving on to our last but not least headline for the week. The Nigerian environment is perfect for Web3 blockchain technology to thrive. This is according to the co-founder of the Cassava Network.
The co-founder of the Web3 platform Cassava Network, Moluka Sano, is dedicated to promoting Web3 usage in Africa. In an interview with The Guardian on the 27th of February 2023, he expressed his honest opinion on the need of Web3 in Africa, and more specifically, Nigeria, stating that, and I quote, "The Nigerian environment is perfect for Web3 and blockchain technology to thrive," end quote. He went on to state the importance of digital currencies to the emerging economies of Africa, along with their various use cases. He is of the firm opinion that education is the key to awareness and mass adoption, and is optimistic that cryptocurrency, blockchain technology, and NFTs are the future. Sano also advocates for regulation in the space to protect the ordinary person from scams, while advising people to avoid adverts that preach crypto as a get-rich-quick scheme. Now, I'm very excited to hear people use words like need versus saying, oh, it could be nice for us to have crypto in Web3, you know, be more well-integrated. It's a reminder that, listen, for other people, all of, you know, maybe not all of, but a lot of the frontiers are nice to have. But for a lot of us here on the continent, it's a need. It's a necessity. It is the step towards us finding our freedom in terms of, you know, financial freedom and being able to participate in a very competitive manner. And with that, just a reminder that none of what we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. If there are links that you perhaps feel that they are missing, please do let us know, and we can always go back and make sure to input them into the show notes. The goal for, we're almost reaching the end of Q1. So the goal towards the end of Q1 is to rack up those numbers to reach 10,000 subscribers or listeners by the end of Q1. And our mission is mainly so we can educate and inform as many people, most specifically as many, you know, Africa curious people, whether you're from the continent or outside, to expose them to what exactly is happening on the continent. Don't forget to subscribe, share, leave a rating. And if you're able, please also leave a review on whatever platform it is you're listening from. And until next time, remember to be relentless.